You've done the coursework, you've built apps, and attended hackathons. Now, just where is the hot sector of the tech industry going to come from next? This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton discusses a cutting-edge hiring space that is getting ready for prime time. Serverless computing. Think skinny cloud. That conversation starts now.
Hello and welcome back to Techonomics. This week we are sticking to the theme of new hires and new companies. All four of this week's segments are part of a whole, but they can stand alone if you're listening on the podcast. We look at the skills and attributes that hiring managers are looking for in recent graduates, especially in the tech sector. Then we have a hot new-ish tech segment that's hiring and scaling up rapidly. Then we look at how important a positive corporate culture is at any sized company. And then we get the skinny from a financial and investment expert when it comes to when and if a company exits, if that company is bought or it's merged. Next up, we have serverless technology. Serverless is a subset of cloud computing, and it's a sector with a lot of momentum, both in hiring and in customer acquisition. Here's my chat with a serverless instructor and tech sector veteran.
My name is Johnny Jelinek, and I am a course author with Serverless Academy.
Tell me a little bit about the story that you do like to tell and how you're amplifying the narrative.
Actually, I just gave a talk. I relate it to an essay that was written in 2011 by Mark Andreessen. And in it, he famously stated software is eating the world. Mm-hmm. And so I use that as a foundation for my talk. He makes some excellent points on how software disruption is impacting the economy, different markets that are directly impacted by it, and several challenges that are associated with it. And so what I do is I use that as a foundation, and I say, here are the eras that software disruption has gone through.
Okay.
And so that leads us from what I call like a pre-virtualization era, a virtual machine era, the infrastructure as a service era, and then into the serverless era.
Okay. And so being at the Serverless Academy, you obviously are forward thinking and are towards the end of that path. But let's back up just a moment again, because I'd like to provide a little more context around SaaS, software as a service, right, which is a lot of what the Valley's been built on over the last 10 or 15 years. So cloud computing, it comes after that. You mentioned infrastructure as a service. What does that look like?
Infrastructure as a service was interesting because it provided an abstraction for enterprises that originally were hosting virtual machines behind their own data centers, you know, behind their own firewalls. Mm-hmm. And so what infrastructure as a service gave them were these commoditized compute instances. So basically a server that's inside of someone else's data center that they don't have to manage anymore.
That's right.
So that saved them a whole lot of money, and it gave them a lot more flexibility because those cloud providers were able to offer virtually infinite scale.
Okay. We got into a little bit of margin there, operating margin and overhead. Let's talk a little bit more about use cases. As a business owner, what scale do I need to be thinking about? Where should I be? And when should I start considering moving towards serverless?
So with serverless, right now, it's, I think, a game changer or a great democratizer for individuals and startups. Enterprises, I don't think, are yet ready for serverless.
Ah.
Because what it's going to require for an enterprise is a large re-architecture initiative for their existing products.
Okay.
And so that's going to
Because they're in-house.
Uh-huh. That's right. Exactly. Right. And so one of the great benefits of infrastructure as a service is that they could translate their existing architecture into a cloud environment. It was a lot easier to make that kind of shift and take some of the gains, you know, some of the profit benefits from not having to hire operators or other people that they used to have in-house when all of that became commoditized as it went to the cloud.
So you're not losing productivity, but you're getting lean by using this way. Okay, now I'm a business owner, and now I'm getting lean, and now I don't need the service and support that I'm getting from people. Where does that displacement take effect, do you think?
In regards to the displacement of software developers, I mean, they're still going to be heavily involved in this process. Now, operators are kind of getting a little bit nervous, but I think their roles are just going to shift a little bit. I mean, they're not going to necessarily manage the hardware anymore because that's going to be in the cloud. What they're going to do is they're going to get heavily invested in other products, software as a service products like Datadog or some of these other components like Loggly that give you visibility into your application but don't necessarily give you direct access to to the infrastructure that's underneath.
We're speaking with Johnny Jelinek. He's with the Serverless Academy. You also have more than a decade of IT experience behind you as well, right?
Yes, that's right.
A lot of developer stuff back in there too, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, good, because we have a sometimes feature on the show we like to call a teachable moment.
I don't know, a teachable moment.
It can be a teachable moment for them. This
ends up being what's called a teachable moment.
Cloud servicing. Show me, tell me, explain to me, draw a picture with words. What is the cloud?
Sure, yeah. So, in short, the cloud is basically a data center that is managed by someone else. So it requires a lot of trust between your organization and the provider who's providing the services. So instead of you planning, budgeting, and acquiring all of the hardware and renting the space required to host an application, all of that is then commoditized and provided by this provider.
Okay, that was perfect and concise, and now I have my head around it. Now, I also noticed you wearing a nice swag shirt today from the Linux Academy as well. Where does that sit, and what is its main role right now?
So with Linux Academy, their primary focus is Linux, and they believe that things like AWS and Azure and OpenStack, DevOps, all those things require a foundation in Linux and kind of spreads out from there. With serverless, we're not so much focused on the learning management system, but primarily developing content for this next era that we're currently entering and will be in.
Okay, well, let's continue that thought, because on the continuum, as you see it, because you're sitting on the bleeding edge of this market that's developing, what do 5 years away look like?
5 years is going to be really interesting. I'm going to see that a lot of startups are going to adopt this technology because of the cost benefits. Because they don't have to manage any of the aspects of a server, then all of that becomes super commoditized. What that means is that the startup is only responsible for developing the logic required to execute their application. Mm-hmm. And then they get priced based on how long it takes to execute that logic.
Okay.
So what that means is that they get to save a whole lot of money because it's based on only what they use rather than increments of an hour where they had to end up, even if they used it for a minute, with IaaS, they had to pay the whole hour.
Right.
So over the next 5 years, I see lots of startups adopting this, and more enterprises are, I believe, going to use this as a great optimization for their existing systems.
Is there a cap? You mentioned earlier that enterprises, large enterprises, may not be customers potentially for serverless right now. Is there a cap on that, or will it grow to scale to be able to incorporate a 50,000-plus employee company?
Yeah, so what I think right now is that this technology is definitely immature. It only came out right before 2012. In 2012, when AWS announced AWS Lambda, is really when it started to pick up. And this whole paradigm shift started to crystallize. So organizations that are going to be able to take advantage of it, they're not going to transfer all of their legacy systems into something like this, but they're going to be able to piece off components of their systems and make that serverless. And they're going to see significant benefits by cutting and carving their existing systems and fitting this model.
So you could do it piecemeal.
Yes, that's right.
What drew you? You have a decade, more than a decade of experience in this space. What drew you to serverless?
I have a history of being on the bleeding edge. So I've got a lot of cuts, you know, that come along with that. So, but I see that this, I think, is going to be a sustainable model for the future because of the kind of cost benefits that are associated with it. And I also believe that this is going to pave a way for more developers to enter the economy. And so the reason I believe that's the case is because this abstracts away a lot of the things in the IT world that developers would also have to be aware of.
I see.
So I think that it's going to make developers' jobs easier, and they can focus on what they're good at rather than all of these additional infrastructure concerns.
I see. Okay. So, yeah. So you're reducing the noise and increasing the efficiency.
That's right.
Well, this has been an education, Johnny. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was Johnny Jelinek, a course author and instructor at the Serverless Academy. Serverless computing, also known as Function as a Service or FaaS, is a cloud computing model where the cloud provider fully manages starting and stopping a function's platform as a service. It's PaaS, and it's done on demand. IT departments for larger companies are not likely to adopt serverless as a model because of scale and security issues, which means prices can be tailored for smaller ventures like startups. Amazon Web Services has added serverless options to its product stack, and IBM has recently pushed out APIs for users to customize their serverless needs adding much-needed flexibility and scale. For more, check out kgoradio.com/techonomics or check out facebook.com/techonomicsradio. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.